Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Pop Culture University, the university where you learn everything going on in the world of pop culture and see what life lessons you can get from it for your own life. Thank you so much for joining me. My name is Petty Pop Culture, otherwise known as my government name, Petty Emminger. If it is your first time here, thank you so much for coming. Sit down in the classroom wherever you would like. Everyone is welcome, even the non-binaries. You are so welcome here. If you have not joined the visual version yet, come over to YouTube, type in the Petty Pop Culture YouTube channel, Pop Culture University, and come and join us. We have an action-packed show for you today. And I think right now we all just need an escape to talk about celebrities, feel lighthearted, feel fun, feel happy. Because it's not just pop culture, it's our culture. And they're not just celebrities, they're you and me. We have a lot of really exciting topics to get into for today's class. You're going to need to take out your notes. Be taking your notes super quick. Pay attention.
Write it down.
This is a PhD level course. We're going to get into Britney Spears' memoir that is coming out today. Everyone who she's exposing, people are scared. We're talking about Paris. We're talking about Christina. Justin Timberlake. Everyone from her past is trembling. We are going to talk about Kanye West getting exposed by two different ex-girlfriends. Northwest exposing herself. Paris Hilton's baby getting bullied. Kim Kardashian's birthday. What Bad Bunny said about Kendall Jenner on SNL. The whole spiel. You'll never learn more about pop culture than at Pop Culture University. And with the visual version, we love to invite a teacher's pet. Joining us on the podcast today is the iconic, magical Day Mori.
Ah, hi, everyone. I'm so grateful to be here. When I first got my acceptance letter to Pop Culture University, I was so excited. I literally flipped the table over, turned to my mom and dad, and said, I'm leaving you forever to go join Pop Culture University. We met at the TikTok Pride event.
I was like crying that day too. I just got off the plane, said goodbye to my family. I was really sad. I didn't know how emotionally like disturbing it would be to move across the country. I had to shake that for a long time. So I was actually crying. You gave me your sunglasses and I think I was like watering up underneath them at the event. Day is a magician. I've actually talked about you on I think both of the podcast episodes that I filmed because last week I was giving like a bit of a teaser about a guy I met. You know which guy I met at the Magic Castle.
Oh.
We're not going to, like, expose anyone here. But it was a great time. Like, I did text him back, you guys.
See the visual version and you'll see the expressions I'm making. Maybe we'll hint.
Wait, can you do some card juggling for us?
Okay, if you're listening on Spotify, you won't see this. But if you are a smart person and you went to YouTube, you will see this. Check this out. This is what you want to see on YouTube.
Like, literally, how did you do that? And like the sexy faces you're making during it. Ooh. Ah. Ta-da. Work. You're trying to do that thing where you suction cup it to your mouth. Oh my God, wait. Should you pass it to my mouth now?
Yeah.
Okay. Me and Day are about to kiss.
We're about to kiss on the podcast.
Oh my God.
It's okay.
I think it'd be better without the card there. Okay, but that is definitely an introduction. Okay, class, so take a seat, face forward, pay attention. We're getting into Pop Culture University. This is the bell ringer today. Just the lighter, more fun, lighthearted tea before I just stick it in and really just give it to you raw. So this story this week has been pissing me off, and that is that Paris Hilton's child is getting bullied online, and I'm just going to be fucking real. I would never bully a child, but that baby's head is very large. Very large. Let's just point out the elephant in the room. This is a safe space to do that. The elephant in the room is that baby's head is the size of an elephant, unfortunately. So this photo is going viral. Day, I airdropped you the photo.
That's a baby.
It's just a little baby.
It's a baby.
It's a big baby. So Paris Hilton had a surrogate. Thank goodness. Because what I was thinking, yeah. I was like, did they get stitched up from the vag to the other hole down there? Like, I was like, did they get stitched up? Are they okay? That baby is definitely giving Stewie. I wouldn't be surprised if the first thing that baby said was, Brian, if you touch my stuffed teddy bear, I will kill you.
Oh my God.
Where's Lois? I want to breastfeed off of her saggy titties right now. I saw people on Twitter editing the baby's head onto the sphere in Las Vegas. I thought that was so fucked up.
Baby just got born and is already famous.
He's already a meme. It's so exhausting being in the Hilton family. You're just going to be a meme no matter what you do. But also with being in the Hilton family, even if that baby can't lift his head on his own until he's three, he won't have to lift a finger his whole life. But what I will not do is call the baby ugly.
No.
Never. I grew up with such a large, fat head. I'm pretty sure talked about it on this podcast. One time I went to go like visit a guy who I really, really had a crush on in New Orleans. I shouldn't have said the exact location. I hope he doesn't watch this. And the first thing I said when I got there, not the first thing, but pretty early on, he was like, oh, you really need head reduction surgery.
What?
That's what he said to me.
That's a thing?
No. And that's why it's insulting. People in school growing up would call me Megamind. I would just be walking down the hall. Hey, Megamind. Yeah. They would call me Megamind. It was very fucked up. So I would just say, I'm never going to bully this child. I think big heads are beautiful. Better than having a small head. It just gives you more of a presence. This baby could have. Like, this is what's why I also think you shouldn't bully her child. Because the baby may have hydrocephalus, which is a buildup of fluid in the deep cavities within the brain. The brain's shape, the baby's head just kind of looks like a hot air balloon in a way. And when it looks like that, you could have extra fluid that puts pressure on the back of your brain and can cause brain damage. And it inflates your whole head. So it's common in infants and will usually go away by the time you're an adult. So hopefully that baby will be okay. But to the baby haters, Paris said, he just has a big brain. He's perfectly healthy.
I love Paris. And like,
but she's such a good mom and she loves unconditionally. Gosh, like you can say she's so superficial and she wants to look a certain way.
She's such a good mom to all of her dogs and now has a human baby. She's had training. She's been through it.
I know. If she even treats this baby a fraction as good as she treats her dogs, the baby will be okay.
She will.
Yeah.
She will.
I feel like the dogs may still take priority over the baby because she just loves her dogs. I'm just kidding. But speaking of big brain.
Yes.
We have these ketone IQ drinks. So ketones are part of your body's something that helps you with your cognitive ability. So this is ketone IQ. I feel like I'm so slow lately.
Look at us already trying to be like Paris's child.
I know. I'm like, I need my head to be even bigger. Fuck what the bullies say. So we're just gonna try these out. In LA, we're always trying some weird health hack. Oh my God. Oh!
Oh! Oh! Oh! What is this?
Oh, what the fuck? What the fuck?
Ew! What I drank all of it.
What the fuck? You drank all of it?
I drank all of it. It's a shot.
I took the smallest sip. Ew. You're so hardcore for that. It tastes like you're drinking alcohol mixed with soap, mixed with laundry detergent. Okay, but we just took a ketone IQ drink to try to get smarter. So we're going to keep talking about how smart celebrity kids are. Northwest exposed herself for having dyslexia this week. That's kind of wild. Like, North is really just staying, exposing the Kardashian family tea. And Kim Kardashian was hosting a live on the North and Kim TikTok that I think has me blocked because I talk shit about Kanye there all the time. And North said, guys, I have dyslexia, out of nowhere. She goes, guys, I have dyslexia. Do you even know what that is? North kind of was saying to us there, I have dyslexia and you bitches can't even spell dyslexia. And neither can she, apparently. Kim then said to North, Northy, you're really spilling all the tea on here. I will end this live. And then North goes on and says, should I drop an album, you guys? And then Kim says, North, I'm going to stop this live right now. And they shortly stopped the live after that.
I love that so much.
Yeah.
I'm already like, when is Northwest album coming out? Because I want it.
North is such an artist. Like North to me is giving Kanye in the sense. Okay. First of all, this is so Kanye of her not to be neurotypical. Because not only is it giving, like, dyslexia, it's just giving, like, free thinker. like Kanye. Like, she's just going to say whatever the fuck she wants. And I think we can agree that's one good part about Kanye. I think the fact that he does speak his mind, he makes points, I will say, 49% of the time. I will not give him the full half because obviously he's said some really horrible things. But I think Kanye's gotten where he is as an artist because of his free thinking. And North definitely has the Kanye brain.
And the fact that she's like so like open about having dyslexia, I think it's gonna have a lot of kids too. Because like, think about it. Like, think about how many kids have dyslexia. And now they'll be like, oh yeah, like Northwest.
I know, right? Northwest has dyslexia. So
like,
now
they have
someone
who they can be like, look, like literally like Northwest has.
Thank God Northwest doesn't have to like, because obviously when you have dyslexia. Wait, did I already say the definition of dyslexia? I don't remember.
I don't think so.
See, I literally have ADHD. I need Adderall so bad. I'm going to make an appointment this week to get it. I want it. I'm going to join the trend of just everyone getting on Adderall. We're going to talk about how Britney Spears said Adderall was her drug of choice later in the podcast. So I'm very excited for that. If you haven't joined the YouTube version yet, come to the Petty Pop Culture YouTube channel. But dyslexia is characterized by a learning disorder that makes it difficult to read. Letters and words will be jumbled up. Symptoms include late talking, learning new words slower, and a delay in your ability to read. I learned what dyslexia was from Bella Thorne.
Yeah.
On Disney. And she made it seem like she had some like incurable, like terrible, completely like crippling thing. Like, she was like, I have dyslexia and I'm coming clean about it. I'm being open to you guys about it. I was like researching about it last night, and in no way would dyslexia like cause a child not to be able to thrive or succeed or, you know, hinder them in school. So it's not this like handicapped thing that people think it is. Like, you will succeed, you will thrive, even if you have dyslexia. And I love that Northwest. Yeah. She doesn't even know it, but she's being a vulnerable icon out here. Isn't it so fucked up that the Disney Channel gave Bella Thorne that song, TTYLXOX? Beep, 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 my BFF, because I DK, what's coming next? And I'll be LFHO with the rest. So TTYLXOX.
I can't even keep up with that, and I don't have dyslexia.
They probably did.
Good job, Bella Thorne.
7,000 takes of that in the studio. She's probably like, BBTXOQR. Fuck. TTTBRQIDK. DKDI. Shit! That's what sent her over the edge.
I want to hear the outtakes of that song now.
I know. Like, TMZ, leak the studio version of that, please.
I love Bella Thorne so much.
That really sent her over the edge, though. But yeah, as we said, North is an icon. Paris Hilton's baby is an icon. And I think what we can learn from this is that I think growing up, we're always pointed out for what makes us different, maybe bullied for what makes us different. That's like our defining characteristic. You know, I was crying about my big head growing up, but now that I am older, I feel like the things that make you stand out in a bad way at first actually make you stand out in a really good way as you grow up. So these kids, they don't have anything to worry about. Paris Hilton's baby will be successful. North will be successful, and they'll probably thrive in their own unique way because of these things. Okay, class, sit down, because the class you're attending right now is called Celebrity Memoir 201. This isn't Celebrity Memoir 101, because I would say Britney Spears is a little bit more of an advanced class, because she's probably going to have one of the best celebrity memoirs of all time. You're fucking excited.
I am so fucking excited. Oh my gosh.
I know. This is like the book we've been waiting for. And Britney Spears even said when she was really young, like, one day I'll have a really good book. So let's just go through everyone she has already exposed.
I am so excited.
We need to start with Justin Timberlake. Of course.
Period.
This was maybe the biggest bombshell in this book. And I can't believe Britney kept this secret for 20 years. Justin Timberlake got Britney Spears pregnant when she was 19 years old in the year of 2000. And Britney was actually happy about it. She said, it was a surprise, but for me, it wasn't a tragedy. I love Justin so much. I always expected us to have a family together one day. This would have just been much earlier than expected. She wanted to keep her child with Justin, but Justin Timberlake, who was a young heartthrob at the beginning of his career, he was apparently wasn't actually happy about the pregnancy and said they weren't ready to have a baby in their lives and that they were way too young. And he asked Britney to get an abortion. And I would say he more than asked, he like implored her to get an abortion. So she did so. She had a at-home abortion, not with like a coat, like hanger, like they would do back in the day. I'm sure she had like a professional staff of people. But she said she couldn't go to a hospital to do that because she knows it would have been leaked. That in itself is traumatizing, having
it's
to do
all
that at 19.
Sad.
So sad, so fucked up. And she said, if it was left up to me, I would have never done it. And Justin was just very adamant about the fact that he did not want to be a father. Brittany said, to this day, it's one of the most agonizing things she's ever experienced in her life. I can't believe she kept that secret for 20 years. It's so strange that Justin would go on to...
to protect somebody else. Who yeah. she loved.
Yeah, she loved Justin. She always had his best interest at heart, even through all those years when he was making songs about how she should cry him a river, or talking about how he's so happy that he took her virginity and laughing about it on the national news and singing a song about...
Wait, what?
Yeah.
When? That... what?
He was in some sort of like... radio show where a bunch of guys on the radio show asked him if he ever had sex with Britney Spears, and he was like, yeah, I hit it, and then kept laughing. And then it was very well known, like, she was a virgin at the time, so he was saying, like, I took her virginity. Yeah, I just think it's so fucked up that Britney kept that secret for all of these years, and Justin decided to drag her through the mud, knowing all the truth Britney could tell, his clean boy image, but then he was having, like, you know, unprotected sex and not keeping his promise to be abstinent till marriage and a Christian and all that stuff. So she could have really exposed the hell out of him, which she did. So we're going to continue on here. She said, well, first of all, she also came out with a song called Every Time in 2003. And Every Time was a really like sad song. And it seemed like it was about Justin and the breakup and how she was so sad that she would never be with him again. The song is like, notice me, take my hand. Some about how I miss you. I didn't know I need you. I miss you, baby. This song is my sorry. I'll never be with you. And the video was her like with a boyfriend and then like going in the bathtub to seemingly drown herself in her own bathtub. And there's also a scene at the hospital where she's walking through it in some sort of haze, seeing another woman give birth. And I thought the imagery was like, she's so sad she's not gonna be with this man who she pictured her whole life with. She's gonna have a kid with him. They're gonna be happily married, that she wants to die. Like, the breakup was so bad she wants to die. And I thought that's what the song was about forever. Now it's very clear, that song Every Time, where she goes, I always see your face in my dreams. Your face is haunting me. I guess I did need you, baby. I'm so sorry. This song is my sorry. It's clearly a love letter to her unborn child, which she aborted. And the baby being birthed in the video is the message to the world that she was sending subliminally because we didn't know. I'm happy she got to express that through her art. And we know Britney's smart. She's always leaving those secret messages like that. So it's really surprising that we just didn't pick up on it until now. And honestly, I think Justin should win the Loser of the Century Award for taking time to capitalize off of Britney's misery to write a song. Yeah, to write a song called Cry Me a River. And it's actually so funny because Justin, obviously he was in NSYNC and then tried to go solo. He tried to be the Beyonce of the group. And his first solo single did not do very well in the Hot 100. So his label maybe would have dropped him. But then his second single was Cry Me a River, where he made a music video about Britney Spears cheating on him and dragging her name through the mud, and the publicity off of Britney got him to the number 3 spot on the Billboard Top 10, and that's what launched his solo career. So it's weird looking back that he launched his solo career off of Britney Spears' misery. I think that's very fucked up. And Britney even wrote in her book, I was in a comatose in Louisiana while he was so happy running around LA. Disgusting. And his day of reckoning has finally come. Justin and his wife, Jessica Biel, put out some sort of statement to ET that said, Justin and Jessica just want everyone to grow and evolve instead of continuing to bring up the past. I think that's a really bullshit statement about Britney's book. They don't want her to bring up the past because it's not like they're bringing up the past. It's not like she's bringing up the past just to be petty or sell a book. She's bringing up the past because the past was rewritten in a wrong way to the public eyes for decades at this point. It's not bringing up the past. It's bringing up the truth that has affected her present to this day. She's just setting the record straight. And I think everyone has the right to tell their story, set the record straight, and just reclaim their own narrative after she's been so kind and, like, protective of him. Don't you feel like Justin is so fucked up?
I just feel really bad that Brittany had to go through all of that.
I know, at 19. I was so, like, fragile at 19. I couldn't go through that.
And I'm really proud of her and happy for her that she's finally able to speak her truth.
Yeah. She's stronger than yesterday. Stronger than yesterday. No, I think a part of the silence was because of the control, which we're going to get into. She's definitely exposing her dad in this. And
good.
I think her dad is in good health and will live a long time. AKA, if you know the Patty curse, that means something the opposite. So the next person who's on the hit list, because we're definitely going to get to her dad, is Christina Aguilera.
Why?
So I know, right? So Christina was like Britney's kind of like co-worker. I feel like she was the number one peer that she was compared to her whole life. And because of that, they were pitted against each other. They were booked for a lot of the same gigs. They were in the exact same profession. So they saw each other all the time. From the time they were on Barney and Friends with Ryan Gosling and Ryan Reynolds being little teeny boppers trotting themselves around with that big purple dinosaur that was definitely really fucking creepy.
Wait, Britney was on Barney?
Sorry, the Mickey Mouse Club. You're so right.
Oh, because I was confused about that for a second. I was like, I didn't know that. But
Selena Gomez was on Barney.
Selena Gomez was on Barney?
Yeah.
Oh.
By the way, me and Day were making a joke, like, since Day is the teacher's pet and is just supposed to, like, agree with things I say.
And on a leash.
I'm going to put a shock collar on Day and shock him.
I love Selena Gomez.
If Day disagrees with what I say specifically about Selena Gomez, I will shock you. Don't you dare say you like Selena Gomez.
I won't.
don't say you like Christina Aguilera either.
I'm sure someone will get offended, but I almost said, you say the lies, don't stop me, turn to star. But that's Ellie Goulding.
That's Ellie Goulding. I love Ellie Goulding.
What,
she's so
what's
funny.
What's a Christina Aguilera song?
Oh, God. I feel like she has...
Does she make music?
She has nowhere compared to the longevity of Britney Spears. Sorry if you're a Christina fan. See, here I am comparing them, but, like, Christina went through half the shit that Britney did, and Britney's longevity is so crazy. I guess a Britney song that you would obviously is iconic is, like, I am beautiful in every
that's Christina
single
Aguilera.
Way.
Oh, that's Christina?
Yes.
Oh, I like that song.
Yeah, that's an iconic song for sure. And she definitely has those moments, but Christina has just a really bad reputation of being really hard to work with, not being nice to fans. Like, she's one of those celebrities that, like, people will have fan encounters with and walk away wishing that they never met their idol because they don't give you the time of day. They think they're so better. And Christina is just that woman that whenever she sings, she has to hit the last note. She has to be the last one to, like, assert her dominance and take up all the air in the room. So she was on the Jimmy Kimmel live show, I believe. And Jimmy Kimmel was like, do you know if you're in the book? Are you worried if you're in the book? And Christina was like, I don't know if I'm in the book. Looking so nervous. She looked genuinely petrified. She was like, I don't know. I hope she's okay. And let's look forward to the future. Again, with that shit that Justin Timberlake said, like, let's look forward to the future. I think Britney has some truth she could say about Christina too. And then Jimmy asked her if she would rather have him in the book or her in the book. And Christina was like, I'd rather have someone else in the book, not me. So she doesn't want to be in the book. I bet you there's some shit Britney could say about Christina. Just some mean girl behavior going on. I'm sure Christina didn't do anything that bad, but it's weird that Christina's like wishing her well now, because when the Free Britney movement was going on, she wouldn't publicly say anything, wouldn't publicly help. And even like random celebrities like Cher were like, Free Britney, Free Britney.
I love Britney. I think that like the Britney movement is just so like reminding that like to one, listen to kids when they talk about stuff going on at home, and two, like
totally.
Issues to like.
Yeah. And I like how you said like, listen to kids at home. And let's just bring up her dad stuff now, because that's a really good segment to like sway into that. Okay. So Britney Spears said she was actually like scared of her dad, like growing up. Like, the whole time. And she said, the man who had scared me as a child and ruled over me as an adult, who had done more than anyone to undermine my self-confidence, basically, like, terrified her for her whole childhood. And in her book, she's already exposed him fully. Like, we know everything he's done, but she's exposing him more on an emotional level from her deep childhood. She said, "For me, the saddest thing was that I had always just wanted a father who loved me exactly as I was. I wanted someone who would say to me, 'I love you, period. You can do anything and I will love you unconditionally.' But with her dad, there was this feeling like she was never good enough." And she said, "I just had this soul-crushing feeling all throughout my life as being a child that I was not good enough. He droned that message into me as a little girl. And even after everything I accomplished, he kept continuing to make her feel worthless." Isn't that awful? That's so fucked up.
It's so bad. And yeah. Unfortunately, like, that happens.
Yeah, you know? Like a shared experience.
And it's gotta be, like, we need more resources for, like, youth other than just CPS. Because, like, I feel like CPS isn't the best at doing their job.
Seriously? Mm. Wow, I was actually about to be like, someone should have called CPS. So it's really interesting that you said that.
I mean, obviously, yeah, someone should have called CPS. But I think that, like, a lot of times they don't do everything that they could or should.
No, I'm sure you're right, though. And I'm sure, like, the experience that you're thinking of is probably something that a lot of people share. And I wouldn't be surprised if CPS have failed a lot of children before. And it sucks that Brittany was born with such extraordinary talent to such a opportunist father. And I feel like Brittany's father probably knew how talented she was from a very young age. So he wanted to almost, like, pummel in this mindset to break her down, make her submissive, make her weak, make her obey him so one day he could take advantage of her and all of her talent and make her weak enough to not want to object or come after him or be like a strong, confident woman in her own right or know how amazing she was. I feel like he had this whole sadistic plan from the time that she was a young kid. And I'm just so happy she's exposing him. Yeah, she said, good. "From that point on as a child, I began to think that he just saw me as put on this earth for no other reason than to help his cash flow."
Yeah.
She actually said that about her own dad. Her own fucking dad. She's talking about the conservatorship, but I love that she's in the book exposing more of, like, the familial trauma and the emotional trauma, because she's making it more relatable. Because, like, obviously a lot of people weren't, like, put into a conservatorship, but a lot of people can relate to maybe parents telling them something about themselves that made them feel bad or made them feel like they're worthless, and then they take that into adulthood. And now she's going through this journey of, like, I thought this about myself. I went through therapy. Now I know that that was not true. And my dad was just an asshole. And I'm so amazing. And I'm
therapy
so worth everything.
Is so good.
For sure. And she said she went through a lot of therapy to make this book. Speaking of people judging her whole life, she finally revealed why she shaved her head in the book, which was probably one of the biggest paparazzi moments of all time. We all remember. I think it was like 7. That was one of my first experiences with, like, seeing such a massive celebrity moment and, like, being a part of it, because everyone was like, "Oh my God, Britney has lost it. She's on drugs. She's going fucking batshit."
Wait, so what was crazy. The reason? Because people have made a lot of conspiracies
And just, like, assumptions too. Also, have you seen the picture of that Justin Timberlake posted in, like, 2007 of him shaving his head to, like, mock her?
What?
Like, he was even, like, mocking her years after they broke up just to keep, like, his name in the press and stuff. He's so fucked up.
That's dirty.
So exactly. So dirty. That's why he's the loser of the, like, the millennium.
That's the award he should get.
The loser of the millennium.
The universe. The loser of the universe.
Justin Timberlake. But she said she decided to shave her head because she's been eyeballed so much growing up. She's been looked up and down. People have been telling her what they thought about her body since she was a teenager. So many people would touch her hair. She was sick of people touching her hair, trying to control her. So shaving her head and acting out was her way of pushing back. Basically saying, "I'm not going to be this perfect American girl anymore. You don't get to pretend I'm a doll. Dress me up like Barbie. Forget that I'm real. I'm not just something for your consumption, for you to idolize and make money off of." Shaving my head and almost taking away, like the beauty of my hair and my image and the normality of having the blonde locks is, like, taking something away from herself, but more away from others. And I love that. And I thank God she just explained that, because... And this book is going to explain so much about Britney's life and make us think, wow, we were really attacking this woman for so many years, thinking she's mentally ill and making her seem like a circus animal. And I love that her album that next year was called Circus, because like she's not a circus animal. She's running the circus, bitch. Running the show.
Beautiful.
Okay, last thing I want to say about this. She was talking about Paris and Lindsay and their partying days, which is, of course, an iconic phrase in her life. I feel like I'm in my Paris, Lindsay, and Britney era, just partying with my...
I'm the first lady of Juicy Couture.
Oh, my God, yeah. No, that's like us, like, going to WeHo.
Yes, that's literally us partying it up.
Yeah, but
we are the first ladies of Juicy Couture.
I mean, I fucking wish. I'm, like, the first lady of, like, Gap. She said that it seems like Paris was kind of like an alcoholic and that Lindsay was definitely, but she was not an alcoholic. Brittany said that her drug of choice was just Adderall and she would never drink that much. She said Adderall made her a little bit high, yes, but she found it was far more appealing and gave her a few hours of feeling less depressed. If that's not the most real thing I've ever heard in my whole life, then she said, I was never as wild as the press made me out to be. She maybe would have a few drinks, but it would never get to an alcoholic level. That's so fucking real. Above all, Britney Spears is just the realest celebrity in the fucking world. And who doesn't love a little Adderall? I do. I want to hop on the Adderall train, contribute to the shortage. She said that she was out of mind with her grief following the death of her aunt. She was in postpartum depression and the paparazzi obviously stalking her every move, her dad being horrible, that she was actually spiraling emotionally during that time because of her grief. And any weird erratic behavior that she was having, like shaving her head or acting out, was not because of drinking, like everyone thought. It was because of her grief. And she was going through so much 2007, specifically when she lost her kids because of the way the media was painting her out. Her kids were given custody to Kevin instead of her. And that is what sent her over the edge to like mentally snap. And that's how she ended up in the conservatorship, because her grief made her act out. That makes everything so much sadder, that it wasn't alcohol. It wasn't anything except her own sadness. And it really makes me think about her song, Lucky, when she's like,
I love that song so much.
If there's nothing missing in my life, why do these tears come at night? And it's because, like, yeah, she had everything that we wanted, but she had no emotional support from anyone. Her kids were taken away from her. Kids wouldn't even hear her out. Obviously, they were like very young at that point, but her ex-husband, her family, the press, everyone was so against her. And I feel like America just owes her like a really big apology. We should give her a presidential medal of some sort.
A Britney Day. Like, happy Britney Day.
It needs to be like Britney Spears Day, like Independence Day. Wait, we should make the day she got out of her conservatorship like Britney Spears Independence Day.
Period.
That'd be
so
good.
Let's do that. Let's start a trend. Okay.
So I think what we can learn about this is that I think Britney Spears was like just too kind over the years, and that maybe let her get walked all over. I think maybe her family took her kindness for weakness. The media took her kindness for weakness. But do I think Britney Spears was walked all over because she was weak and not strong? No. I think she was kind, and I think no one should ever take kindness for weakness. For it is the moment that we apply kindness that our strength is really revealed. And it's easier to be mean and nasty, like Justin, to use someone for clout, or like her dad to take advantage so you get some money and make your life easier. And everyone was making their life easier by tearing her down. But look where they are all now. Her dad's about to die. He has a bacterial infection, and I don't care. He's like in the hospital. Justin Timberlake is aging so bad. His career is not doing good. Christina Aguilera had not as much as the longevity as Britney. I just think kindness is the way to keep karma on your side. But also in being kind, like as Taylor Swift said, never be so kind that you forget to be clever, and never be so clever that you forget to be kind. So find that balance in there. Okay, so the next lesson here at Pop Culture University, the next class is Kanye West 405. This is a very high-level class because Kanye West is a very complex character. So he has two girlfriends right now. One of them, I guess, is his wife that he, like, allegedly married in some sort of eloping way. But they are both... One is exposing him. One is going to rob him blind. So the first one who is exposing him is Julia Fox, the TikTok icon herself. She recently wrote a book called Down the Drain, and it is about how she went through hell and back in her life, and she put herself down the drain, and now she's bringing herself back up. And in the book, she's, of course, talking about Kanye West. She will not say his name in the book. She just refers to him as the artist. Someone else who can't say his name legally, I think, is Pete Davidson, because he will beat Pete Davidson's ass. That is why God saved him from the crash. And Pete was on SNL this week, and he was like doing a skit where he mentioned Kanye, but he was like, I legally cannot say his name. So maybe like Kanye is like Voldemort, then thou who shall not be named. Also, Kanye changed his name to Ye. So I'm like, if he got married but has no last name, is the wife just Miss Ye? Miss Ye. I love that. Anyway, in this book, Julia Fox details how she got with Kanye and their relationship that lasted less than 2 months. She says that she felt like he was using her as a puppet and he was the puppet master. She said, he's using me in some weird, twisted game, and being with him felt really dirty. She refused to sign his NDA at the end of their relationship, so she is free to spill it all. I love all these women just like writing books and exposing these men in their lives. Women play the long game, and I love that. They let men like ruin themselves and make a fool of themselves, and they're like, I'll get them back later. Women are playing chess. So she was just talking about how they met and their first date, and she said anytime she would be with Kanye, he would just talk and talk and talk and let her occasionally chime in. But when she did chime in, he would listen to her very intently, say he would love her ideas, and say he thinks that she's super smart. It's giving like a narcissist though, who's very charismatic and lets you feel like they really appreciate you and care about you, but really they're just like wanting this to be about themselves and using you to further their agenda of some sort. And that is definitely what was happening. He was having Julia Fox be his next doll in the lineup, like build a bitch. Any girl Kanye West is with, he thinks it's build a bitch. He will literally want to change them completely, from Amber Rose to Kim to Julia to now Bianca. Some he does in a respectful way, like Kim, like he really built her up. Some in a very disrespectful way, like Julia and Bianca. Julia said that he wanted to change her. He offered her a boob job in one of the first occasions that they met. I'd be very insulted by that. I would be like, Kanye, do you want me to pay for a plastic surgery for you? Am I too ugly for you or something? Do you want me to pay to get your knees done so you can be taller and not have this Napoleon complex? She said their relationship wasn't very sexual, but he would want her to dress very sexy, supervise her wardrobe, took all of her clothes and threw them in the trash and got her new clothes. Him and Kim are so alike though. Kim will go through someone's closet, insult them, completely break them down as if they're in some like reconstructive, like rehab, break them down to nothing, throw all their clothes out, tell them that they have worse style than a scarecrow, punch them in the face, but then give them great new clothes and build them up again. They really were a dynamic duo. He asked her to be his girlfriend. After 2 days, he would do insane things with her and then leak his own press to the press. Like he would leak the weird things that they would do together, like having sex or hooking up or these things, to the press so Kim Kardashian would see it. He was trying to use Julia to make Kim jealous, and that's why she felt like she was the puppet. He was the puppet master. She was weaponizing her against Kim. She said the last time that she saw Kanye, he brought her a rack of clothes with a stylist, got her and all of her friends Birkins. Birkins are like $20,000 each.
I mean,
I wouldn't complain. I'd be like, thank you. Like dating Kanye, like if you date Kanye, you have to have a memoir. And she knew she was going to have the memoir. That's why she was like, I'm not signing the NDA. That's hilarious.
Yeah. Also like his fault for giving it to her at the end of the relationship.
I know, but she said she feels like that was his parting gift and something to not make himself feel bad for using her.
An NDA?
No. The parting gift was the Birkins.
Oh, I was like, how would... I feel like the NDA should make anyone feel worse.
But if Kanye West ever asks you to date, like, you have to date him so he can get us all gifts.
I would not date Kanye.
No, please.
No.
Oh, my God. I
no
mean,
way.
I feel like... But I feel like Kanye would be like...
There are so many other people.
Yeah, that can do that for you.
Yeah.
For sure. Ooh,
I knew it myself. I don't need a man.
True. You can buy yourself
or
a
woman.
Birkin.
Or anyone.
Yeah.
I need myself.
Yeah.
You need yourself. Mm-hmm. We're going to buy ourselves.
You don't even need to be a man or a woman. You can be in between.
All of it. And all of it in between and be gender fluid.
Yeah. Where?
Just get.
That's why I said the non-binaries are welcome, because Day is non-binary. She she said that basically she knew all of these gestures that he was doing for her was, you know, that's it. It was just a gesture. It was a very temporary relationship that he was using to hope to one day get Kim back. She said the last time that she saw him was when she got the Birkins, and that's when she knew this was a publicity stunt. His true intentions were not having a serious relationship with me, and she never saw him again. His lawyers kept harassing her to sign the NDA, but she refused to. Just to avoid legal problems, I'm sure she just doesn't want to name him in the book. But I will say, I think this worked out for her. I don't even think she used him for clout. I think Julia just wanted like a good time and maybe like a loyal TikTok audience, but her career was already going well as a model. And thank you, Kanye, for giving us Julia, because she's iconic. Dating Kanye West seems like it'd be like a real life Goosebumps novel. Like it would just take you through the woods, like be the scariest ride of your life, like a real life haunted house. But
I love Goosebumps.
I know. I used to read it all the time. Yeah, no, those were like impressively like scary, like as we were kids.
Yeah.
Like they were good as fuck.
We're well done.
Yeah. No, I definitely need to like get back into like the whole Goosebumps world and see the movie. But dating Kanye West would be like living in a Goosebumps book for sure. Now, the woman who is with Kanye West, she, I think, knows what she was getting into. I mean, how could you not at this point? But it seems like she is even a scarier entity than Kanye. She goes, I am crazier. So people think that she is setting up to rob Kanye blind. Now, this is what is going on right now. There's a bunch of reports coming out from reliable sources that say Kanye is giving her a set of rules. If you don't know, Kanye married a 28-year-old woman not very long ago. They were co-workers at Yeezy, you know, before he like said all those horrible things and like lost all of his jobs. They were co-workers. Probably the only co-worker that could stomach him anymore was this woman. So he decided to marry her. He does not actually love Bianca Censori. I'm sorry, Bianca, you're sexy, you're hot, and I'm on team Bianca. However this ends, I hope it ends in Bianca's favor. Kanye is just very spiteful against Kim, in my opinion. He's still trying to, you know, use these women to get back on her, just like Julia said. But he married Bianca in like a 10-minute ceremony, a super cheap wedding, as compared to Kim's wedding, where they went to Italy and had Andre Bocelli perform for them and spent $500,000. So anyway, he married her, and now he's giving her these weird set of rules. I'm sure everyone saw the photo of them in the boat in the middle of Italy, where she was going down on him, giving him some crazy head, even crazier than his own head, in the boat, publicly getting a blowjob. I'm sorry, the image is just in my mind right now. It's like burned into my mind. To me, it's weird because aren't they like devout Christians? But you're devouring his dick in the middle of Italy. Very strange behavior. And I was like, wow, he's really embarrassing her in public. It seems like he's dragging her through the ringer and she just has to do what he says. And it got a lot of people hoping that she's okay, questioning if he is exploiting her, like taking advantage of her, abusing her in some kind of way. So now all these reports are coming out of him having very strict rules for what his wife can do, including controlling what she eats, controlling her workouts, saying that she has to work out even though that he doesn't. Kanye just gets routine lipo, bitch. Let's just be honest. He's always screaming in TMZ, I got lipo so you guys wouldn't say I'm fat. Valid. But like, why are you...
Oh my gosh, that's from Clueless, right?
I mean, that would be iconic.
My mom died from getting her routine liposuction.
Oh, I think that actually is how her mom died.
Yeah. No, from Clueless.
No, but I think that's actually how Kanye's mom died too.
Really?
Yeah. Which is why, like, why would he get lipo just because people are saying he's fatty because of that?
Wait, can you actually die from liposuction?
Oh, of course. Yeah. That's one of like the one that's is very like dangerous. That's why getting a BBL is so dangerous, because it's half lipo. And then they put it in your ass. Like, it makes it so much more scary. Wait,
so lipo is when they, like, physically take fat out of your body, right?
Yeah, but it looks like pus. Like, it looks like whatever they make, like, McDonald's chicken nuggets out of that they take out of your body. It's so gross, but...
Conspiracy theory?
Yeah, he offers to buy her his girlfriend's...
That's how the chicken nuggets
are. Oh, my God, yeah. From all the BBLs going on, they can make McDonald's chicken nuggets forever. But so he offers all of his girlfriends these BBLs. I think he got one for Bianca. Again, he makes her work out even though she doesn't. Just like all my gym teachers growing up, making me work out even though they didn't. She cannot speak unless he speaks to her first. That seemed a little absurd to me, but then when you see them in public, she's like never talking or speaking up. She has to wear these insane outfits. Like, she has to wear like plastic over her face and like wrapping over her face and no shoes and like this really Velcro-y tight outfits that look like Skims, but like to the extreme. Also, did you see Kim is dropping Skims for men?
Oh, I love that.
I'm so excited. They're not out yet, but she's starting to launch all the campaigns and all the guys look so amazing in them.
I don't feel like any of this, like, this is really toxic behavior.
Making
your wife have to not speak until you speak to her. That's like so bad. That's ew.
Do you know why I think he's doing this? I think Kanye like just likes power and control. And I think because in these recent years, he's lost so much power and control in so many areas of his life that he's exerting more power and control onto his wife to make him feel good. Like, because before he would
That's
do it.
That's so gross.
Yeah, right? Fucking nasty. And I mean, I feel like we've all had like relationships where we feel like people are like exerting power onto us and being awful. So yeah. Me and Day did definitely feel for her.
Yeah.
But it seems like he would just be much more respectful with other people like Kim. Kim would want to wear more sexy clothes, but he would still dress her, but make her look good. And he would like not let her go to a public event without, you know, approving what she was wearing, which that's like cute in a way. Like, he wants her to look good and all that shit. But why is he taking his rules to such an extreme with Bianca? Because these outfits are so naked. It's like embarrassing. Like, the camel toe is camel toeing. Like, the camel's back is about to break with how tight her outfits are. It's just very dehumanizing. And like I said, every girlfriend he has, he treats them like they're his Barbie, but he's treating Bianca like she's weird Barbie. He literally cut her hair. He might as well like draw on her face. He puts masks on her, probably puts her in weird positions. She's like a Barbie girl living in Kanye's world, and it's not fantastic. She's like Kanye's NPC, like his Sim that he abuses. Did you play Sims growing up and like abuse your Sims?
No.
I love to do that. I would play Sims and I would build a house for them, but then I would put them in a room and take away all the doors and not give them food and slowly watch them starve. I would slowly watch them starve and die.
Was that like the point of the game?
No. That's the point of like GTA. Like, the point of Sims was to be happy. So people think, why is she letting herself get abused like this? What is going on? Bianca has a background. She is the daughter of a notorious gangster in Russia Australia, who actually had the nickname Al Capone because he was so notorious in this, I don't know, like mob-like setting. He knows how to handle business. He knows not to take shit from anyone. He can handle people, steal their money, rob them blind. So people think, she really married him after 3 days. She lets him abuse her and she married him in a bad mental state. But if you flip that, she married Kanye in a bad mental state, rushed to the altar, and lets this man who's completely fucked up and publicly do things that could be against the law to her. So one day she could flip the script and steal all of his money from him. And this is coming to a head because she just officially became his power of attorney. So when someone is your power of attorney, they can make decisions about your finances if you cannot. So people think she finally became his power of attorney. She knows exactly what she's doing. She's very smart. She grew up in an upper class neighborhood in Melbourne and attended a prestigious Baptist school. Her friends describe her as extremely intelligent, very socially savvy. She wouldn't let herself get walked all over like this. So people think this is all some sort of an elaborate plan because, you know, when she worked with Kanye, she saw how much money he was making. She maybe studied him, learned how to take advantage of him, and one day she is going to work for all of the money that she married him for. Because everyone's like, she just married him for money, blah, blah, blah. She was his employee, but she's working for every penny. And Kanye always thinks someone is trying to put him in a conservatorship, say he's mentally ill and take over his finances. If that happens to him, she's the one who gets them. So people think Bianca is much smarter than she looks. She knows exactly what she's doing. And Kanye is the one that's actually going to be embarrassed in the end. tea, right?
Yeah.
So she might just be sitting there silently waiting. And she's 18 years younger than him. But she may be young, but she's not stupid. Wild, right?
I'm very excited to see
how this ends.
I just couldn't stop thinking. Every time you said Bianca, I was hoping you'd say Beyonce because I keep thinking about the song.
I just need to talk about Beyonce. Yeah,
I keep thinking about the song. I was here. I like cried to it like a week ago and I've been blasting it on repeat every day.
I know. I love her. Isn't Beyonce just such an icon? Have you seen the Eras Tour film yet?
For Taylor?
Yeah.
No.
Well, I was thinking of like the Renaissance World Tour movie that will come out soon.
Yeah. Ooh.
Do you like Taylor? I'm trying to find a Swiftie to go with.
Oh no, I love Taylor. Yeah.
You do? Would you sing and dance with me in the theater?
Yeah. My only thing is that if she doesn't play Safe and Sound, I might cry.
She doesn't.
I'm gonna cry.
Okay, students. So the next thing we have to talk about, we were recently just talking about how some of our favorite queens are in their 40s. Kim Kardashian's birthday this week and she turned 43.
What?
Can you fucking believe it?
No.
It's so weird to think
how?
Like
how?
I know, right?
How?
It's from the adrenochrome.
Give me some.
No, that's okay. Bad.
Oh.
You like kill kids and like what? Use their blood. Honestly, oh. I would like it. You're like, give me some. Us in Hollywood, we love that. We're all in the Illuminati here. The ketone was adrenochrome. We squeeze Paris.
We need
Paris
to look
Hilton's.
Like cherubic dolls forever.
Oh my God.
You look like a doll. I was actually thinking about that. Did you put on powder?
No.
You're
but
not
would
shiny
you guys
at all.
Am believe it? Day is actually 83.
I know, right? I'm 83 years old. It was the magic castle that helped me age down.
Oh my God, it's actually like, I'm like a magic cult. Okay, anyway, I would honestly give Kim my youth though for her to stay young. I love her so much. I don't want her to get old. I don't want her to
what do you mean by
old.
Give her your youth?
I'm just saying, if this was like a Jordan Peele, like get out situation, like I would give her my youth.
Your body?
Yes.
I don't think
Kim's body's staying, but she can have my youth. Like,
what
I,
do you mean?
How I just that- want her to live forever. I love her. I don't like.
Like the youthful
I
parts
would
of
rather,
your brain get cut out and put into her?
Yes, I would rather just grow old than let her grow old. Like, I just love her so much.
I love Kim.
And isn't it so weird that in 17 years she'll be 60?
I feel like...
It just got dead silent. I know, life goes by so fast. It's so sad. Oh. I know, that's why I'm like, every day I have to do something. Anyway, so...
I love that, though, for Kim.
Right.
Wait.
Yeah, as you ponder about how fast
how
life goes by...
How old is Chris?
67. Yeah. Okay. But as you ponder about how life goes by fast,
that whole family's beautiful.
She had a party in Beverly Hills, which is not far from here. Iconic. For her birthday. Her birthday cake was her Fortune 100 Most Powerful Women magazine cover. So hilarious. All her sisters were there. Kylie, Kendall, Chloe, but not Courtney. Courtney wasn't there. Courtney was all dolce'd out of seeing Kim because she fucking hates her.
Was she not invited? Or did she choose not to go?
I guess Kim sent the invite to the not Courtney group chat. And Courtney didn't go to the birthday party.
Oh my God. I'm
just kidding. Okay, so Courtney missed it because...
I have a not Patty group chat.
I'll kill you. You do.
I'm kidding.
I'll kill you. It's specifically titled Not Patty. No, I wouldn't be surprised. Okay. So Courtney missed it because she's having a baby. And the baby will probably be added to the group chat before she is. No, I'm just kidding. She's on bed rest. She could have the baby any day now, so that's very exciting. But as we know, her baby's high risk. She was already at the hospital a few times, checking on her baby's health, making sure everything is okay. We wish her the best pregnancy. I think it's really empowering when women who are like get hate for their biological clock ticking and they're having the baby too late. You're so selfish. It's like, no. She wants to be a mom. She's capable. She's healthy. She's going to have a beautiful baby, a beautiful barker. And I'm so happy for her. And all that baby is... in high risk of is nepotism and affluenza. So
and some
good
Blink
for her.
182 tracks coming.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That baby will come out with tattoos on its neck.
That baby will come out with like some guitar riffs, some drums, some crazy drums.
Yeah, that would be so iconic.
Machine Gun Kelly and Lil Uzi feature, or not Lil Uzi.
Landon.
Landon feature.
Yeah, she wrote kind of a Lil weird Wayne birthday feature. Message for Kim Kardashian though. She said, happy birthday to my first sister, Kim Kardashian. Thank you for all those years of bossing you around and actually listening to all of my crazy ideas. People think the fights they've seen on TV are bad, but only if they got to witness the hair-pulling, nail-digging ones from early high school. Oh, the joys of sisterhood. I love you deeply forever and always. May God bless this year with love and happiness and abundance and joy. Let's just be real. Courtney and Kim hate each other. They are just sisters. They are not friends. They are sisters by force. They would not be friends in real life. I'm surprised Courtney didn't go to her birthday party and be like, you are so fucking jealous of me. I turned 43 last year. Now you're turning 43 this year. You can't be happy for me. So I'm not going to be happy for you at your birthday party. Courtney just hates Kim. I don't know if you know.
I know. Yeah. I feel like it's the law to know.
Oh, it's a lot. And like,
it's the law.
It's like American history. But I was trying to go back in this show over all the years.
The founding sisters.
That's so funny. Wait, no, wait, the founding sisters. The founding sisters. So true. They really are the founding sisters of like,
yeah,
the new age, though. I always call them the royal family of America.
Oh, yeah.
And Kim is the queen.
Can like Paris be thrown in there somewhere too?
Yeah, I think she would be like the indigenous people that like the founding fathers like kicked out. Am I fucked up for saying that?
No comment.
Okay. I'm just saying history in the way that American textbooks didn't teach it.
Wait, did Paris and like Kim have drama? Because Kim used to organize Paris's closet.
There was drama, but that's for a different day. But anyway, I was trying to watch the show back and there was never a moment that Kim and Courtney liked each other. Like I was trying to find a moment where they were like genuinely laughing, sharing a hug. I was watching so many clips. They just don't like each other. I'd made a whole other episode of like psychoanalyzing Courtney, how she's like a jealous fake humanitarian. But yeah, that's all I have to say about Kim's birthday. Happy birthday, Kim. You are everything to me. You are literally the reason for my existence. She inspires me so much. And I'm not even being like corny or just joking. Like Kim and her shamelessness and her passion to go after her career, look the way she wants, act the way she wants, have the life she wants, be so shamelessly herself while everyone can act like they don't care, but they definitely do, has inspired me to shamelessly do whatever I want to do. So good for you, Kim. I love you. But before this podcast episode ends, we're going to get into Celebrity Couples 101, one of my favorite classes here. So Bad Bunny, the sexy man he is. I was kind of growing my facial hair because I like Bad Bunny's beard. I just think he's so hot. He's my poppy. But so he was hosting SNL this week. And in his monologue, he was definitely giving some hints to Kendall. They have an inside joke about mosquitoes because he posted a video on TikTok of them on a hike joking about mosquitoes. And then he like randomly made a mosquito joke on SNL. And then he said he can speak good English, so we don't have to worry. They can communicate. They have a wonderful time together. And he said he can have sex in English, but he prefers to have sex in Spanish. And I get it. I feel like sex in Spanish would be so much more fun than sex in English. When I think of sex in English, I think of like stiff, like a board, like people from England, like, oh yes, that feels good. I am about to arrive. But I feel like sex in Spanish wouldn't be like wild. Like,
I don't care what language the other person is speaking. All that I care is that Nicki Minaj is blasting.
Oh, you blast Nicki Minaj during sex?
No, but I want to.
Oh my God. She a Barbie bitch with her Barbie clip. Yes! And he dragged her, so she balled a bit.
Or the
cadence of the thrust would be crazy,
or like
to Nicki
Beauty
Minaj.
Beauty and the Beat, but just her section on loop.
That's the craziest thing you've ever said. Justin Bieber. You know, I'm gonna hit it with the ether. Buns out. Wiener.
But I gotta keep an eye out for Selena.
The way I would bust so fast.
Beauty and the Beat, right?
Anyway, I feel like sex in Spanish would just be so much more fun. Like the cadence would be better. Latinos have like rhythm. They'd be like, Mas dura, papi. You know? Voy al orgasmo. It would just be more fun.
Yeah, sex in Spanish?
Yeah.
Probably.
Anyway, I don't know if Kendall knows how to have sex in Spanish. But sex is a universal language. So I think they're just talking bodies, having
That's
a great time.
That's my favorite quote. Sex is a universal language.
We need to get into the most hottest, number one show-stopping, A++++ list celebrity couple, though. Taylor and Travis. So while Kourtney Kardashian missed Kim Kardashian's 43rd birthday, Taylor Swift actually missed Travis Kelce's 34th birthday this week. And that was kind of shocking to me because, first of all, they're both born in 1989. They share that special bond of being the exact same age. She's at all of his games. So it seems like this would be like a fun moment for them. And Taylor knows how traumatizing it is when your new boyfriend doesn't come to your birthday. That's
wait, Travis missed Taylor's birthday?
Taylor missed Travis's. And that's why it's shocking okay that she that. Would do that.
But if yeah. Travis missed Taylor's, I would be mad.
Oh, I have a red flag. Like, pull the alarm. Yeah. If he misses her birthday on December 13th.
Well, because she's like, wait, dude, she's moving the economy. Like, yeah, she's you better a busy, show up busy, for her. Busy person.
She barely so, has like, time for a birthday.
I'm not, like, she shows up to his game. She's there for him. I'm sure that they had a little, like, call moment. And
yeah, I'm sure they had a nice private birthday
maybe
celebration.
Maybe they didn't want to make it public.
No, but the thing is, though, like, he had a public birthday celebration at a restaurant. Taylor did not show up. And she wrote a whole song that was on the Taylor's version of Red about someone, like, missing your birthday. It's called The Moment I Knew. And it's about her 21st birthday and... what's his terrible name? Oh my God, I like suppressed it. Jake Gyllenhaal, when he didn't show up to her 21st birthday, that's the moment she knew they were not going to last. I guess it's not that deep anymore, you know?
They're, I think so.
Jake and Taylor's relationship was super short. So I'm like, wouldn't it be like, I feel like Taylor would care about birthdays, but she was busy because her movie was coming out that week. I'm sure she had a lot of shit to do.
I hope that they last and I hope that it was just like, I mean, also like, where was it? Because Taylor's, you said at a restaurant, right? Like
probably
Taylor's
in Kansas.
One, travel. Two, Taylor's such a big celebrity. She needs so much security everywhere she goes. Like, it's hard for her to leave her apartment when it was in New York, let alone, like, any of the, like, properties that she owns now. Like, there's, like, always people trying to see Taylor, trying to be with Taylor. Like, how many people were at that party? And, like...
it was a small party.
It was.
Yeah. But I actually love that you say, like, she travels, she needs security because, well, first of all, Taylor has a private jet and she is abusing it. You know what I'm saying? That's what everyone thinks. There's a whole conspiracy. She's only dating Travis. So when you Google Taylor Swift jets, stuff about her relationship comes up and not her climate change, Taylor's version.
Wait.
Fiasco.
That's because he plays for the Jets.
He has a rivalry against the Jets.
He has a rivalry.
So she went to the game with the
Jets.
I
don't know too much about sports.
Oh, no, it's completely fine. But also about sports, like, Taylor's literally Travis's good luck charm when it comes to playing on the field because she only missed one of his games in the last month. And that one game, he got an injury. But every single game she's gone to, they won. Isn't that fucking crazy?
It's
like,
the power of
there's
love.
Not that many football games every year. I don't really know much about football. I don't know, like, what the positions do, what the tight end does besides have a tight ass. I don't know what the quarterback or the nickelback or the starting lineman do. But, like, I'm gonna give all the credit to the wins to Taylor Swift. Her Midas touch from that skybox.
It's like that photo of God, like, reaching out.
Yeah,
hand,
oh, that's so funny.
And it's Travis, like, holding a football.
Oh,
like,
I'm so dead. Yeah, she's like
save me.
She like, makes the ball float with her finger into the end zone.
Yeah, she's
into
magical.
Travis's
from a magician,
hands.
Taylor Swift is, like, actually, like, the, like, president of magic.
I love that. No, she really is, like, magic. It's Taylor Kinesis. But
Taylor
anyway,
Kinesis.
Speaking of privacy and all of that stuff, she may be moving to Kansas because Travis Kelce bought her a house for them. He just bought a new house in Kansas. Reports from TMZ say a certain Kansas City football star just bought a multi-million dollar mansion in Kansas, allegedly over privacy concerns as he dates a really famous pop star. He went to buy this multi-million dollar house. Apparently it's $6 million for a desperate bid for more privacy surrounding his newfound relationship with Taylor Swift. The new place has a waterfall, swimming pool, a mini golf course.
Good luck getting privacy.
I know. The Swifties are already hiding in the bushes. They already found the address.
I kind of feel bad for Taylor in a way. Have you seen her on her on that one interview where she was like, as soon as I leave my house, everything's filmed.
Oh, yeah. She was like, I know this is not normal. Yeah.
Because she was living in, like, a New York apartment.
She was like, the way I just walk out of my house and have crowds is not normal. Yeah, that's so scary. But it's actually so sexy that, like Travis can just buy her a house. Like, he is so fun. He's so cool. He continuously does things to impress me and make me feel like he may be just the one for her. And I like how she's always in Kansas. She takes her time to go fly to see him. She'll dress in like the supportive wife girlfriend. She's a wag now. The wagification of Taylor Swift will be studied, which if you don't know, it's the wife and girlfriend of a sports star. That's what a wag is.
Well, I approve. I think that she's more than just a wag.
I know. It's almost like she's like playing wag for him, but of course she's
like
much more than
plays
that.
Into it, I think, which is sweet, because like she's got to know, like, she's the reason. Both of us know who what the name
pants.
Travis Kelce means. Who is that? I didn't know until Taylor, to be honest.
She put him on the map.
Yeah.
She's wearing
and
the
then
pants.
Also,
she's
like,
the man.
How many more people are buying tickets to his game now?
Oh, yeah.
Did she basically buy that new house?
Yeah. But like, it's cool that Travis is aware of that.
We need to make a term that's like wife, husband and boyfriend.
Of Taylor Swift.
Of Taylor, of a celebrity, of a pop star woman, like
Hab.
He's a Hab. Husband
and
boyfriend.
He's a husband and a boyfriend. That's so funny.
He's playing Hab for Taylor, realistically.
He's the number one Hab, though. He loves it.
Good. I'm glad. I'm glad that I'm just happy because, like, she's in a position of power. Because, like, so often we see, like, women not. And,
yeah.
Like, just, like, I'm really happy to see that, like, the pop game right now, specifically, is being very
totally
female-dominated. Because for so long it wasn't. And I'm just happy to see her. Like, that gives me such a good feeling.
For
to know
sure.
Taylor
it's also cool that she doesn't, like, abuse it, though. Like, she's not holding anything over his head. He doesn't feel bad about it. He actually, like, loves her and lets her be bejeweled and takes her on all these dates and holds her hand and buys her mansion.
And I think that's a pretty
privacy.
Low standard because we've seen men abuse it forever.
I you know? Yeah, right? It's like finally when a woman is like the billionaire and the person in charge, she's totally humble and
God is a woman.
A great person. Yeah, God
and
is
her
a
name
woman.
Is Taylor.
I guess what you
and
can
Mariana.
Think though. Oh, for sure. I guess what you can think about all this love bombing though is like, will it last? Is this love bombing? Because it's giving like rebound behavior when you just want to like feel good and like play love with someone, like play house. And I think like when Taylor says in Blank Space, you can tell me when it's over if the high was worth the pain. They're on such a high. They're riding such a fucking high. So I think what we can learn from this like really, really quick, fast paced flame of a love. I keep on thinking of Taylor lyrics, but when she was like, did the twin flame bruise paint you blue? We can learn that the flame that burns twice as hard burns twice as fast. So I don't know. But that's definitely something to consider in our own lives, in our own relationships, to our own joys and pleasures in our life that we maybe overindulge in or overexploit. If you do it twice as much, it's going to come to an end twice as fast, or there'll be a bad moment, some sort of repercussion twice as fast. So I'm wishing them the best. But it's getting to that point where I'm like, is this love bombing? We'll see. I'm happy for them, though.
I'm happy for them, too. I'm really happy.
Thank you guys for joining me in Pop Culture University today. I had the best time with all of you. I love you all. Make sure to like this video on YouTube if you have not already. It helps the algorithm so much. If we can get over 1,000 likes, I'd be so happy. Please subscribe to the YouTube channel. Come to the YouTube version to see all of our amazing stuff that we have going on here. Everything that we kissed, we took shots, all of that. Subscribe
great.
On Spotify, Apple Podcasts, leave a cute little review. 5 stars, screenshot yourself listening to it, post it to your Instagram story, and tag me. And if you tag me, I will hit you up in your DMs. And yeah, I love you all day. Thank you so much for being the
Thank
teacher's
you for
pet.
Me.
You're were so amazing and cute and hilarious.
Amazing.
And your insight was like fucking iconic.
Go check out the YouTube version. Go check out the YouTube version.
And of course, check out Day on all of your socials. An iconic magician. I featured the video of you doing a trick for Stassi in my last
you
episode.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, that was so fun.
Yeah.
Thank
wait.
You.
I obviously I know your name, but what's your at? Like your
Day
full at?
Mori Magic. DayMoriMagic.
Yeah. Please go check it out. It's so amazing. And yeah, I will see you guys next time. I love you all. Class dismissed. Mwah.